Hello and welcome to Campaign Comrades, your favorite life scamming podcast. We are coming to you just about a week after we made our journey to Boston. And boy, was it a trek. It was
Forsaken City, Forsaken State. We're moving.
Truly.
I'm saying just dice it up between Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Just like dice the state into quadrants.
Well, we just need to take over Rhode Island as well. That's
part two of the plan. Once it's cut into quadrants, Connecticut does some radical expansion and just takes the Rhode Island portion.
Hell yeah! I mean, Rhode Island is like Massachusetts light, anyways. So
yeah,
it's a weird crossing ground between Massachusetts and Connecticut culture. That's right. That's a Connecticut culture. You have to think about what that means.
Yeah.
Also, you can't forget the Jersey culture because
that's part of Connecticut.
Rhode Island is mobbed up.
There is a weird Northeast beach culture there as well. Yeah. Like New Jersey. But we soldiered on as we made through our way through that cursed city to
put our lives in the hands of way too many Uber drivers. Way too many Uber drivers were in possession of our lives at points in time in inclement weather. Yeah,
they are, they're New York City level driving, but on Boston city streets is like not a combination that meshes well, right?
They drive exactly like every
New York City cabbie. They're riding people's asses, they're riding the horn, driving the same. Yeah, no, it's works. Exactly. It's like, that's my point is that like, it's not as dangerous in New York City because the layout is actually makes sense. There's actual logic and reason behind it. The grid system works.
Boston is like, you just came on this right lane and need to exit five lanes across now.
You got to do 10 lane shifts in 30 seconds or less. And
you use the left lane to slight left. Oh no, not the left lane, the third lane.
Some mass state trooper is putting his lights on just to get through this intersection and all sorts of nonsense going on. But yeah, I knew it was
going to be a bad Boston trip when I was on the plane that was a 35 minute flight. And all 35 minutes, there was three Boston native women, the only people talking on the plane, just
the most sensual accent in the world.
Yeah. I was just bricked up the whole time.
Yeah, we suffered through the trenches to get to PAX East so we could sample its fares and wares and bring it all back to you fine listeners. I don't really have a huge plan for how we want to tackle this. Andrew wasn't there on Thursday, but he came up, he was there Friday, and the rest of us were there all 4 days. So we saw a handful of panels, did countless tours of the show floor. Spent way too much money, which actually I forgot. Remind me after we log off, I got to check my bank statement again to see
if the
hotel charge has reappeared or not.
It's just gone forever.
I mean, one can only hope.
Did it go away?
I mean, remember I texted you guys, it was like it had been pending for so long, and then I went back and checked, and that like $50 incidental charge was still there pending, but the actual room charge had just disappeared.
Based.
I figured it's probably that it was pending. They
adjust the amount,
undid it so they could adjust it for either that $50 thing and or for the parking. That was my guess, but I have not checked since.
Free hotel.
So let's set the stage for our listeners of this layout of the scene of PAX East, where we walked in with the herd through through some like electromagnetic metal detect, you know, scanners that
yeah, got my, New York,
you didn't
balls,
get called
got
out
balls,
day one, yeah. Right? You got through day one. It was day two, and day three, one. And four that you got.
No, you didn't get buzzed. No, you didn't get buzzed on day four. I know. Yeah, day two.
I only got one time.
It was so weird about you getting buzzed day two. Is like, as far as I know, you didn't change anything with what you had brought.
Yeah.
On day two, so it was just.
No, I think I was just too close to someone else in it.
And they misread who to buzz.
Yeah. But New York's fun fact: New York City wants to install those in the subways. So you know.
Sure, that will help.
Yeah.
That will help.
Yeah, that's gonna help
in traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. So you walk through those. We picked up our free lanyards, Final Fantasy 14.
Dawn Trail expansion.
Yeah.
Yep. The new expansion. We go down the escalators to the beautiful.
Well, first you have to remember that we pulled off to the side to peel off our outer layers after being, you know, battling through like 50 mile per hour fucking gusts.
Wind gusts. Yeah. It was nuts. It was crazy.
You have to set the full scene for what Thursday was truly like, because it was a fucking monsoon wind wise.
It's true.
Yeah. It was on the colder Chicago. Side. And it was just, the wind was insane. Worse at the hotel than it was at the seaport for some reason.
Yeah.
We had a great Uber driver that day, Alan.
Yeah. Shout out to Alan. Alan cared about our lives. And his
aspiring game dev. Alan, we'd love to see it.
So we had a nice chat with him.
I was very much judging the car from the front seat without making any faces because I didn't want to insult Alan.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the trim on the door and the front and how they didn't line up like level wise when the door closed. It's just like the
that's
little
a feature,
things.
Not a bug.
Yeah.
It's called asymmetry. Look it up. It's supposed to draw.
Also was
it's
famous
supposed to draw
for
the eye.
Back to being at PAX East, we go down the escalator to the poorly laid out Boston Convention Center that only has escalators on one side to get to the top levels. That
the other side has escalators too. They're just on the inside. Or like on the outside layer, you have to go through a gate system.
Yeah, it was poor design.
It is weird.
It's an asymmetrical design
and doesn't make sense from a like layout standpoint.
Yeah, it's to increase.
But it makes sense from
everything.
A Boston.
It should be perfectly symmetrical.
A Boston infrastructure.
Keep things flowing with high body.
We immediately made sure to go against the grain of the flow of traffic.
It is the way to do it. When you're on the show,
you go left.
Yeah, you don't feel all right. The crowds.
It did not smell very bad.
No, I was surprised. I smelled some because
it didn't set in on the first day. At least it hadn't, like, you know, people probably took showers.
Well, I mean, the first day, you have to also remember the first day is Thursday, so it's like a work day for a lot of people, so you're not gonna get
but the people that aren't showering
they're gonna be out still. But I'm just saying, you're not gonna have like the kid stick on top of it where you're gonna have like, I have marshmallows on my hands and I'm touching everything. It's like, where did this kid get marshmallows and how did he get so many of them?
The major smell, though, is like, you know, the funnel cake stand halfway down.
Cake stand, and I was going to say the styrofoam from cosplays.
Oh, yeah.
Pungent.
Not many the first day, but
they increased drastically in scale Friday and Saturday. So many Tifas. Too many Tifas. Be more creative, people.
The first thing, though, that catches your eye when you come in has got to be the Qadia booth. Folks, have you heard about Qadia? Have you heard about the marvels of Qadia City?
Qadia.
Honestly, couldn't tell you what the fuck is going on.
They're making a Dragon Ball Z theme park. So,
yeah, dude.
You know, pretty based.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia is making a gaming city, apparently, and there was an upsetting amount of people in the line at all times. And the joke that we were always doing is like, oh, they're trying to get you to scan, you know, the QR code. And it's basically, but every person who scans, their name is like added to a petition, which is like saying like, yes, it's it, all these people say it's okay that we employ, quote unquote, employ Southeast Asian migrant workers. They're definitely not slaves to building definitely to be a city. Not. They're definitely.
Oh my god!
Their corpses do not line the foundations of Qadiya City.
I don't remember who I was. It might have been me and Mike. It might have been me and Andrew. I was walking with one of you two, and we saw someone like take a picture of the booth, and one of their enforcers like came out to look at it.
Gotta make sure you're doing it in the right light,
man.
we took a picture in front of Qadiya, and nobody bothered us.
Hold on. I did not realize. I thought. We were joking about it being the video game Neom, but it actually is.
No, it is.
That's
yeah,
fucking hilarious. That's
what it is. Like it's completely nebulous as to what exactly that means.
Oh my
God. It's like a metaverse city, basically, is what I gathered by looking online. And it's
with a theme park.
Like what you're doing at the booth, like at that booth made no sense to me. Like I don't it was literally just a
conspiracy theory that the queue of people were partially like employee generated, like you pay someone to like start a line so people get in line just because they must know.
Yeah, they got undercover line starters.
Like you remember how when we worked at Subway, you start the tip jar with a couple singles and a five.
Yeah, no, it's simple psychology.
So people see and they throw in two, and then you just pull those singles and five out and put them back in the register. Yeah, the
social engineering.
The people are sheep. You know they will follow where you lead them.
And granted, Qadiya had good-looking people there.
And it was like, you know, it was bright. Like the booth had like it looked like it had an interesting flow.
It was always
it. Like,
in your sight was the thing. It was very tall.
Yeah,
they had a lot of verticality.
It was large, but you could always kind of like see into it. It was just like this sinister, sinisterly well designed. It was constantly drawing the eye, but
social engineering.
Yeah, and everybody
gonna have
just
a Six
like,
Flags.
Like they're gonna have, as Mike has now said multiple times, they're gonna have a Dragon Ball Z Six Flags at Qadiya City, which is just like,
no, separate. Well, they're two different things.
Oh, they're having a Six.
There's
Flags
gonna be a Dragon Ball
well.
World and a Six Flags.
Yes,
like literally, like the American company Six Flags.
Six Flags.
That's even better. I did not know that's funny. That's fantastic.
I'm just thinking of the old man from the commercials dancing.
And praying towards Mecca.
He's like dancing like crazy, and it's like, oh, it's time to pray. Like gets down, like prays and does his prayer.
Everyone pay for your pilgrimage.
Oh my God.
So that was
5,000 ahead.
That was the biggest, visual thing that you were constantly seeing that.
Well, I noticed right away that the booths that put their most effort into like color and like a way to stand out had more people generally around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more you could do to draw people's eye to your booth, you just seemed like raw from looking at crowds. It just looked that it was working that way.
My biggest, I agree. Like, you know, the like high school craft fair looking booths, never really had a line unless it was a known game.
I don't mean to be mean, but like a lot of those college booths were. Rough.
Well, that is honestly, it's like, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're shunted to the side. They probably have like a subsidized deal because they're all Massachusetts universities. Massachusetts universities. So they've got a deal.
It's like WPI.
With the one exception of High Point University, which is located in North Carolina.
Interesting. But no, I saw like WPI, Clark. There are a couple others.
The rest were Massachusetts, but it's interesting.
They're definitely like subsidized booths that like, you know, the colleges aren't paying full price for the booth space, so they get shunted off into their little cubicle.
You can still do more than just a poster board that looks like you cared about it for
a trifold board. Yeah, Yeah, they got it's like, oh crap, mom, I forgot I needed to get a tripod presentation like the day before. Yeah.
It's my biggest
real.
Yeah.
The biggest upset was the Mountain Dew and the Dunkin' Donuts booth.
Yeah, dude, the number of people
were catching booths.
The number of people I overheard just being like, what the same. Fuck? There was nothing free at the Dunkin'.
They were
like no free samples.
I saw Dunkin' and that like, oh, there was no coffee.
I remember you're walking in Massachusetts, around Andrew, you have and a you're Dunkin' like peeled booth. Off to the Dunkin' booth for a second to like inspect it further and came back disappointed.
Even Mountain Dew.
You can't. The two
should have been given out G Fuel.
You can't entice. I mean,
realistically speaking, you could have definitely stolen Mountain Dew out of the ice cream truck's cooler outside.
Sure, yeah. Oh yeah.
Sure.
Like, entice the massholes with Dunkin'. You can't entice gamers with Mountain Dew and not give them a taste. Right, you know, yeah, you're gonna have fucking riots on your hands.
A little shot glass of some Dunkin' coffee to get the massholes going.
Something like there was nothing, and I don't know if it was like a post-COVID thing that they couldn't give out. Like,
yeah, well, the potato place was giving out free samples,
and the potato place was bumping when it came.
And the CDC said COVID's over, so I don't know what the fuck you're even talking about.
COVID never happened.
So the person who just had COVID like a week before. Yeah.
No, he had SARS, COVID, whatever it's called, which is just the flu.
Yeah, he had the seasonal flu, folks. So it's the same thing.
Oh my God. I mean, I think honestly, the America runs on Dunkin', and when Dunkin' can't give out you know something free for the people. Yeah, it's a sign of the collapse. It's over. It's over.
It's Jover, people.
I mean, it's not really Jover because we were in the Mecca of Dunkin' and I couldn't fucking turn around without finding one.
That was one of the funniest bits. It was like Friday morning, our first morning there. We was like, oh yeah, there's like this little cafe like 100 feet across the street from our hotel. But it's like, oh shit, it's like cash only, and like only one of us had cash. So we're like, oh, we'll just go to Dunkin', and I'm like, oh, where's there a Dunkin', and just like basically, you know, hit myself in the forehead. Yeah, it's like you turn around and spit and you'll find a Dunkin'.
Yeah,
and literally you know half a block
I was gonna say like 200 feet away there was Dunkin'.
Yeah. There's always one in spitting distance.
Yeah. It's just like
it was impressive when we were walking on Thursday to the bar for dinner. Like every time I turned around, I was like, oh my God, there's another one. Like, are we going in circles? Is that the same Dunkin'? Is it following me? Is it a,
I swear to God, I've seen this Dunkin' three times by now.
What are the monsters that everyone. The CCP Foundation, because obviously that's something else, but it's something like that. SCP.
Yes. The Inspiration for Control. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's the one that has like the endless IKEA store that once you go in you just get lost forever.
This would just be
like the insatiable Dunkin' that's always running on you.
That cafe going woke and only taking cash so that homeless people can buy their food is the death of Main Street. We had to go to Dunkin'.
But based cash only place that's definitely hiding money from the government.
yeah. There's only one reason to be cash only, and that's to cheat your taxes.
Correct.
No, it's so we don't pay card fees.
Cooking those books.
Before we like dive into
some
like
pretty cool panels though.
Yeah, like okay, so yeah, let's look at the panels here. I've got the full list up here, like. There is, of course, more panels that we wanted to go to that we couldn't, but there were a few good ones.
Before we jump in, I do just want to voice some criticisms I have over how this whole shindig is, and one being how they time out the panels is a frustrating thing. They make it so that essentially you have to choose between panels that are back to back. There's really no way to go to back to back panels successfully. And that was frustrating because a lot of them were ones we were interested in two that were back to back and essentially had to choose. So that was my one criticism. My other criticism is that I really think they need to post the what's available day to day prior to selling tickets. The fact that you pretty much had to buy tickets before the schedules were released is just a little bit frustrating to me. But those were just the two things.
Yeah, especially if you're interested in only getting a 1 day pass and you know you get it for Friday, but Saturday has the panels that you were really interested in.
I don't exactly remember, and I should have probably.
I think kept with track a 1 day pass, you just show up for 1 day. I don't think it's a specific day.
It is. You buy
specific.
You buy specific day patches.
Yeah,
that's how I got mine.
Because then you can just be like, oh, each day, be like, no, this is my one day, right? You know, you didn't see me here yesterday. No,
it says Thursday. Yeah, it'll say Friday, Saturday, or something like that.
Pass. Yeah. I just lost my train of thought. When tickets, I think. Badges went on sale before the schedule came out, but I don't think they sold out necessarily by the time the schedule came out. So you could potentially wait to do it, but you're running the risk of them running out of, you know, the badges that you want. Like it's largely, you're going to run the risk of missing out on the four.
Nice part is next year.
That'll be nice. Cause depending on what we want to do. This was happening at the same time as GDC in on the West Coast. And for all you 40K fans out there represent, it was the same time as Adepticon too. They're all like, you know, these, I think GaryCon was going on too.
You say Decepticons?
Okay, so the Adepticon thing helps to square the circle on why I saw like essentially no Warhammer stuff. So that makes more sense there.
Yeah, Adepticon was going on, so all the vendors are there. All the vendors are in the Midwest. I'm pretty sure it's in the Midwest.
And actually, the one other thing, before we jump into the panels, that I did want to say about the larger event was, I was surprised by the lack of like really AAA big gaming names. Like there was no Sony booth, none of that, and or Xbox, nothing.
Nintendo was only there, and it was Pokemon.
When I went in 2020, that was when they had the full Nintendo booth was Animal Crossing, you know, which was about to become, you know, world, you know, enormous. this version of it, and even bigger. You know, worldwide.
People should have known right then and there that something was happening, because Nintendo wasn't about to let Animal Crossing drop without forcing you to stay in your houses to play it endlessly to experience. What?
Hey, COVID happened in China, not Japan.
That's what Japan wants you to think. Japan and China, famously great allies.
Yeah, they have a wonderful relationship. It was a very disappointing booth for Nintendo. They like, because they're just keeping their shit close to the chest right now, right?
Yeah, they're in such a
weird limbo position right now. It's like, you know, yeah, the worst kept secret of when Switch 2 is dropping. So they don't want to be like, because they know that we know that it's coming at some point. We know that
they delayed it to get more games behind it.
Yeah, and it's like if they featured a big name game, it would just create speculation over, oh, that means Switch 2 is dropping. You know, they're keeping those games until, you know, Switch, you know, to be launch titles for Switch 2. So like they don't have a big draw to bring it to like to be worth it.
Someone did Pokemon,
you know, that'll get people going. That'll get the people going.
Yeah. Someone did a Charlie board on the Nintendo subreddit of how none of the games this year that they're releasing are developed by any of the Japanese studios for Nintendo.
Hmm.
And then all of the Japanese studios must be cooking for Switch 2.
Yeah.
They'd be chefing it up in the kitchen.
Yeah, but as far as the other two big three, I don't remember them ever having a big presence there.
So Sony has had a presence at PAX before based on the posters we walked by.
What something that was interesting to me was this was the 20th anniversary of PAX, and that wasn't a big deal. I felt like at the
conference. I didn't see any, I didn't see like, oh, here's some big event for to celebrate the 20 year anniversary. That's true. It's an interesting observation.
And like, even, you know, the biggest panel, the, you know, like showcase panel or whatever, the Cyberpunk one that we went to, like that, there wasn't a big like reveal, like there, it wasn't, it was a good panel, but it wasn't,
there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare. I mean, yeah. I guess the one thing I'd be is that, you know, 25 is usually
this podcast.
See, 25 is usually bigger than 20. So, you know,
but I mean, still,
it's
like,
still, no, I agree.
They were like celebrating it in a way. Like they had, you know, the enforcers had t-shirts on and stuff like that. But
dude, the term enforcer just makes it so funny to me.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It was really funny. Like
they'd be enforcing.
There was only like, there was like a halfway split for them. They're either like the nicest people you've ever met, or just literally power hungry bitches. Like,
you are a half inch over the tape, sir. I will escort you out of here.
I will not hesitate to get into
for everyone.
Yeah, I will not hesitate to get into a kinetic style situation with you. You know, over your ass hanging. Half inch over the tape line. I will get the file marshal up here, and he will butt fuck you in front of the entire audience
and shut down this whole thing. You'll ruin it for everyone.
We will take kinetic action.
Dude, it took so much self control for me not to just be myself. At that exact moment,
dude, I was letting that shit, you know, slip
because I was fully prepared there just to mouth off and just walk away and just go back down the escalator,
just start planking over the line.
No, there was so much space. Any fire marshal would have been like, "Yeah, he's fine."
Yeah, it's a Boston fire marshal.
All of those codes.
Do you even think a fire marshal was there? No way. No way.
Hey Tommy, you got to go to the fucking, they're calling it PAX. You got to go to PAX.
You got to go to the big nerd convention. Yeah, fuck them, let them burn. All right. So.
Yeah, fire marshal walks in. No, there's not enough people to create a crush. Pack more in.
Dude, Saturday felt that way.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. So let's go with.
Yeah. Last thing, the walkways in the expo center,
the glass walkways,
they're just so narrow. No,
between the
exhibits on the exhibit floor. Yeah, the it was just so narrow, but they had so much space
between. Yeah, they could have spaced that out.
Yeah,
and the and like
they did put a lot of space on the sides for bathroom and like through traffic to the escalators, which is generally a good idea so that you can.
No one was ever really using it.
No, I was going to say
they could have gone like another like 15, 20 feet on either side and they probably would have been fine.
Yeah, and like, you know, at least 20 feet into that empty space in the middle. And like, because nerds were just fucking like stopping in the middle of the walkways. They had signs telling people not to do that.
As someone with wider shoulders, the amount of dodging I had to do to not like fully shoulder check very frail looking nerds.
Okay, now we can move to the panels. That was my last grape.
Okay, Thursday, I'm pretty sure
that was RPGs.
We went to three different panels across the three of us, but so the first one was the Great RPG Landscape, which Matt and I went to. One of the first panels that it was just a bunch of like content creators like talking about their favorite RPGs, and the line is just like, yeah, we're all friends, we all know each other. Oh, oops, we all have the same taste in games. Oops, yeah. is this an echo chamber? Are we all saying, you know, that the Secret of Mana is the best RPG ever?
You know the meme where it's like the someone's opinion over the Buzz Lightyear, and then it zooms out to the aisle full of Buzz Lightyears.
Except
Campaign Secret of Mana is your favorite, Kingdom Hearts is the most overrated. Interesting.
Yeah, except for the one cool guy who is like, the Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah, base Legend of Dragoon guy.
At least here at Campaign Comrades, we have diversity in gaming.
Mm-hmm. See, the Matt and I were hooting and hollering when the entire crowd at the
most
panel
overrated
agreed that Pokemon is the most overrated RPG franchise. It was
Mike,
a
do you have a response?
Unanimous decision.
I'm speechless.
Like, this is your chance to respond to the whole crowd. Roast them. Go.
No, I'm just speechless. They don't know what they're talking about.
Use flamethrower.
I'm using overheat.
It was interesting that the majority of the games discussed were JRPGs. You know, in a lot of way, it could have.
They
just
said
been
that at the very beginning,
JRPG,
like, we're not
going to
use the label JRPG or like Western RPG, and they pretty much exclusively spoke about JRPGs.
Yeah, there were.
They are cultured people.
It's true. It's true. I mean, like, here's
one of them was wearing sunglasses inside. So, like,
I think one person maybe said, like, Morrowind.
Yeah, Morrowind came up at some point.
I feel like one of them said, like, one of the good Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, aside from that and, like, The Witcher 3. Oh, they talked about the earlier Witcher games. They're like, because they're like, you know, like, The Witcher 3, awesome, love it. But, like, you know, people trying to convince me.
That was also in the overrated games.
No. They were just talking about the first ones. They were talking about the.
Yes, but that's what they said. He was like,
The Witcher
was overrated. And they were like, wait, which Witcher? He was like, because it was like one and two or three.
It's like, because then they were talking about, like, yeah, everyone was basically pretty excited for the Witcher 1 remake.
Oh, my God. You're bringing back the PTSD of the second panel, because the guy who yelled out Witcher 1 or 2 reminds me of Stimmy Turner.
Was he all right, at
so
that
moving
one?
On from
was
that point.
Was he at that one?
Don't think
we'll
so.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him. I'm trying to remember which panel he was at.
Because he was at...
We saw him at two.
Child...
No. He was at one that I was at, which I think was the Final
that
Fantasy
VII. That was the second one. No,
remake.
That one was
Final Fantasy VII, and before that, I'll look through my pictures, because I have a picture from every panel.
It was the one where... Wasn't he talking about Awakening?
No.
It was something...
He was talking... He was talking about Half-Life
VR.
Alyx.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
In a panel that did not have anything to do with VR or
unlocking the positive potential of gaming for kids and teens. It was because Stimmy Turner took over and then Reactionary Lady took over. And by that point,
yes.
I was too dead to.
Okay, yep. Because it was the second one. Because I was walking around the floor at that point. It was after my panel.
Yeah. So you went to the. The brush your teeth cybersecurity hygiene for creators that one of
yes,
your
I
one
did.
Of your one of your friends
and met my lawyer friend that is actually his tag on everything Noah Downs and learned about some cybersecurity hygiene and AI is coming for us people. The scammers are out there, they're using AI. It's not great. They're into AI generated DMs now is the new thing. And it's like, particularly with smaller content creators, it's other content, you know, AI chat bots of like hacked or, you know, scam, like content creator or even brands DMing these smaller content creators trying to like, you know, scam them out of whatever, or it's like, you know, a friend saying, you know, like let's collab and send money, you know, like send me money for this, whatever. So it's, you know, definitely a targeted thing that is being used by these people, as well as I learned that people are making AI CP now, which
AI Chris Paul, the point God.
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah, we talked about that in the when we were there. Yes,
which is not great. And so, you know, Noah as a lawyer, one of the things his firm does has been taking that down for clients. So, like, one of the, you know, pieces of advice was, don't put your children on social media because gross people are going to use them.
Say, that was basically the takeaway of the child development in gaming panel. Is it, that was the like, oh, we're going to talk about like the benefits. And it was like 5 minutes. And it's like, now let's talk about the negatives. 30 minutes. It was all about online gaming. So.
Yeah. But this was like, you know, don't put physical pictures of your children on social media.
Well, yes, because like, well,
yeah.
One of the things they brought up was like the harassment through DMs in games and how people can use the, like if you're playing on PC, for example, can like, you know, hack into your computer, get like pictures from your webcam and then send them to you in DMs. Be like, oh, I'm going to email this to your entire email.
I pulled your IP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, another one that I learned of, which actually was amazing to me, how easy they, you know, so it was a cybersecurity expert for like a, he didn't disclose who he worked for, but it was like a big firm or like a big company in their like cyber defense.
Pixel Pete, and, manager of security architecture.
Yes. And so he was saying that there's a big issue with SIM swapping. So people will go down to like AT&T, and if they have enough information on you that if you are putting it out on social media publicly, like they'll just finesse a AT&T employee into like, you know, allowing, you know, like, I lost my SIM card, my SIM card broke, I need a new one. You know, this is the number, here's, you know, my date of birth, you know, the, or I'm a family member, I'm authorized, you know, whatever. As long as they have enough information from you and they're, they have enough, riz and finesse, charisma to fucking, you know, get the employee to do what they're asking. And then they get a SIM card with
some Bangladeshi guy is pretending to be my relative. Yeah.
No. This is like, this is a physical, like going into the store.
No, that was part of the joke. Yeah. It's just that some Bangladeshi guy is coming in. And it's just like,
they walk into AT&T and they're like, oh yes, your name is Benjamin.
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah. My obviously Anglo name, like,
Mr. Ryan Scott.
Yeah, seems legit to me.
Joseph Smith, interesting.
But yeah, that one.
Oh yeah, I'm married. I married into the family. I won't do an accent. But he's my nephew. I married into the family.
But yeah, so it was just like a lot of, then they were giving like best practices for like passwords now and, you know, password protection.
Which was hilarious. You told us all that shit and I'm just like, nope, never going to do that.
Yeah.
That's the surefire way to lock me out of all of my accounts.
Well, I mean, the biggest suggestion was using a keychain type thing. Yeah. Like a, you know,
oh man, so LastPass did so well when it got hacked like 2 months ago.
Well, it was like suggesting using like a Google Authenticator to like store.
I know. I was just making a, yeah. Like my work really pushed for LastPass. It like sent me a like, hey, you're like one of the few people who hasn't like signed up for your LastPass account yet. So like I finished the sign up and then I never used it after that point. And then when LastPass got hacked and everyone was bugging out, I was like, ah, suckers.
It's how you get caught.
Yeah, so yeah,
you can't LastPass my passwords. They're random enough.
So it was a very interesting, like educational in a way panel. That was like actually useful, unlike your child development and gaming with just rants on how games are bad.
I mean, the panel himself wasn't too bad.
Rest in peace, Joe Lieberman, by the way. the OG games are bad.
Rest in piss, you old bastard.
The panel itself wasn't too bad. I mean, the things they brought up as negatives were in like they're not wrong.
Pretty hard to argue against that most of online gaming culture is pretty toxic and bad for kids. But
always
the joke
has
that,
been.
You know, the joke that it's not like we're the first ones to make this, but it's like turn to Matt like when they're talking about this and it's like, you know, these people are weak. They would never survive in a 2004 COD lobby.
Yeah.
Never. They're too frail. They're too fragile.
But the highlight
was
that
I was molded in the crucible.
Yeah. I was born in the darkness.
The highlight of that panel was the Q&A session afterwards.
Oh my god, yeah.
Most panels either didn't have or just were boring comparatively.
I had a good question for that one because again, like I wanted to like kind of pose a challenge to them, and like because like two of them were data specialists. So like I was like curious to see if they had any data about it, but was like, you know, gonna like talk about how, you know, we live in such a kind of, you know, alienated society, and particularly for young people, it's hard to make, you know, friendships and, you know, real human connections. So has there been any data research done on, you know, the benefits of community building for young people through gaming? Like, are there any tangible benefits that way, you know, in being able to, you know, break out of isolation and the kind of depressing bit of our culture? So I wanted to do that, but instead we got fucking Stimmy Turner, who is probably the most autistic person I've ever met or ever seen.
Dude, coming from a group of
autists.
Don't
mean that in a derogatory way. We just mean straight up.
Yeah, good for him. Like,
it's a matter of fact.
But he was stimming so hard the entire time. And then just again went on this like info dump question about explaining everything he loved about Half-Life Alyx and like asking
VR.
About
it was like 5 minutes. Like 5 minutes. It might have been two.
To a question of like VR, and it was like he was like kind of made it tangentially related. It's like, what are the possible benefits we'll get from VR, from new VR technology? But like, it was like he had, I think, the kernel of a good question. Like, could VR technology offer some kind of developmental benefits to young people? You know, exploring new things that you can't do in your modern, in your modern hellhole. You know, like you can't, you know, you just do not have access to. I feel like that was the question he was actually trying to get at, but it just resulted in a 10-minute info dump on here's why Half-Life Alyx was my favorite game, my favorite franchise.
It might have been 20 minutes. It could have been
2 minutes. You can do.
I almost had to leave. I almost couldn't keep it together.
I was like getting out his compulsive thoughts via text.
I was just like, Matt, like you're so uncomfortable because you're looking into a dark, twisted mirror. You don't like what you see.
No, I didn't.
but then it was after that.
I was the smallest person in the room at that moment.
Yeah, no, he was just like unconsciously just shrinking. His seat during the whole thing. It was just like literally like the physical cringing was intense. But then, oh my god,
filmed it.
Then there was this lady. That's cyberbullying. Then there was this lady who came in after Stimmy Turner and
Karen.
And she just like basically just got
I'm
up
a teacher I'm an educator and a parent
and just started yelling at like, what about the low motivated kids who the only thing they want to do is play video games? You know, it's like it sucks. And so like, first off, we're just like, wow, you paid, even if it's just for the day, it's like you paid $100 and some odd just to come in and yell at people. Like, you hate games, yet you paid $100 some odd to come to the gaming convention to yell at people. It's just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Perfect. That is the perfect like description of just online commentators, though. Like, essentially, they're just purposely putting themselves in situations to get mad.
It's the extreme version of like the Twitter Blue user, right? You know,
IRL.
It's paying money to get their opinions heard, their shitty opinions heard.
Yeah, it's the like the physical embodiment of the Reddit r/boomers are fools.
but then there was this like this guy who had his own question, but then spent most of his time responding to this lady,
just deconstructing
in
her in
such a well thought out and much more like, you know,
he did it so composed.
Yeah, much more composed than I did, because like I like very much like under my breath, because she like then started interrupting this guy, but it's like, you know, like, but they don't want to learn, they don't want to teach. I'm this like,
sounds like you're a bad teacher.
Yeah, I said like, sound like you're a fucking bad teacher. And, like, if you can't
you gotta fist pump out of some people around.
Yeah, it's like if you can't learn how to channel some like a kid's energy and their drive from one way to the other, it's like to use that focus as a tool rather than an impediment. It was just like, yeah, you're a bad teacher. That's a YP, you
educator.
Know?
I was about to say, could you imagine if I had the superpower of having to do like Elden Ring math when I was in like elementary school? How much farther along in my career I'd be right now?
You should have yelled.
Where's
at her,
the Vati video for American history?
It all started.
Yeah, so that was one of the highlights in terms of like, it was the panel itself was like, yeah, it's they had some interesting things.
I thought
to
the
say.
Panel itself was kind of bland.
It was kind of bland, but like it was, I'm,
you know, I
really,
I give
glad
her credit,
we went
though,
because of the questions. Actually,
I give her credit, because when she started speaking, I immediately thought she was going to attack the trans panelists.
non-binary. God. Yeah, it was like they like pronouns they, he, she. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, thought that they were, yeah, it's definitely that type of, it was that, you know, middle class white woman.
I was fully expecting her to just go on a tirade of like, how can you be speaking on like,
you're the one, and like they were the one who was like
the censor.
Yeah, their job is like doing moderation, like, yeah, they work for a company that does moderation. So it's like, how can we let this person be the one who's deciding what our kids hear and see? You know, that's what,
so
we
like,
totally
I give her
expected.
Credit for not, yeah, for not
that,
going there.
That was not the direction that went.
She didn't go to full Monty.
Yeah. So that was good. All right. But we spent too much time on this panel already, but it was a highlight for sure. Matt, what did you think?
We had
of,
to talk about it.
Yeah. What did you think of our final panel for the day? The Final Fantasy VII original versus remake.
It was okay.
It's like, in my opinion, those panels just became like, it's like, oh yeah, we're just like, you know, they were kind of just like live podcast kind of thing where it's like,
they're just talking about our favorite game.
Yeah, they're
well,
just
especially
people just talking
that
about
one,
their opinions. They didn't really
that
have
didn't
like
have anyone
a,
connected to the game. They were just content creators
until
and,
the end.
Historian?
Well, no, that was the Final Fantasy.
Right.
And
oh,
those
you're
were
right,
and
you're
those
right,
were
right,
all
right.
The developers from the
yeah,
from
yeah,
the,
you're
from
right,
the
you're
top.
Right, you're right.
No, we're talking about the 7-1. No, these were just all content creators again who
there was someone who had a doctorate up there for something. I could probably look at the picture that
one,
had the people's
I think
names.
They're like psychologists, and one of them was like a PhD candidate.
I think you're also mixing things up.
No, I'm positive. I'm looking at it right now. There's two. There are actually two doctors.
Christopher
and one,
Leach.
He's the PhD candidate, and then two of the others are already PhDs. One's a psychotherapist. The other one, I think,
then,
is
I think is
also
Lisa. And,
I think they're still all content creators, but like two of them did have PhDs. Already, and like the one who is the PhD candidate and one of the ones who's already a PhD, they're like writing a book together.
They're even less qualified to speak to the common experience.
Mm-hmm. But no, it was just like it was kind of meandering. You know,
like that one. I kind of lost
me.
They kind of lost me in that one. Mostly just because they didn't really talk about what I wanted them to talk about,
which
necessarily.
Or
which
like
was,
what it
which,
seemed
which would be
they
what
were
going to
talk
about. I'm interested.
I was expecting more like direct discussion in comparison, you know, back and forth.
Same.
Here are the changes that they made and what we thought about.
That's exactly what I thought.
I would have liked to hear a little bit more about that as well.
That's kind of how it read, the like
because
description.
They were mostly
I'll
just
say
like,
the descriptions were not good.
I mean, they were probably fucking ChatGPT written, to be completely honest. Yeah. There was, I was reading some of the text at the convention, and I was like, ooh, that's some AI ass fucking paragraph right there.
Which could also be that people are now, you know, like writing like they are AI. It's like, it's like a, it's feeding each other.
There's, I mean, some, yes, AI is obviously built off of the works of other people to make it sound like people, but it's like, there are some like giveaways with AI with how it like, how it'll get stuck referring to things in like,
I'm saying is people are so stupid that they're being influenced by AI and their writing is becoming worse.
They're just TikToking and eating hot chip and do and lying.
All right, should we move to Friday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I want to preface with like a little bit of my anecdote.
Friday is when the Princeton lacrosse team moved in.
Oh, to our hotel.
Yeah.
But so we had like a couple panels that we were interested in going to, and we ended up going to a certain path, and it was largely we got there early enough, and like there was a short enough line for a game that I wanted to try to check out. It was, I have it actually, all the ones that I demoed up here, just so I.
This was the like 1920s gangster. Yes,
so this is Fallen Aces by New Blood Interactive. It is like kind of like a crime noir FPS with like some kind of light sim elements. From what I saw, lots of interactable stuff that was kind
of
cool.
It had a lot of people at the booth, but I'm just telling you, that name immediately evokes Smokin' Aces, which was a really bad movie.
And that booth in particular, Matt, had all the things that you were talking about. Like, it was a good-looking booth. It had a lot of, like, verticality to it.
However, from what I understand, though, booth. The people that were there, you know, that wasn't just one that were, it's like, oh, we're just like, you know, we're drawing you in via flashy colors and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, they're
everybody,
also
everybody that I saw, like, and it was like overhearing it, like they were knowledgeable and fans of the studio and like doing
that's where you saw Josh Sawyer.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to bring it up, because we went to his panel later in the day. But so it's like the highlight and one of like the things I feel worst about in the panel. So like I'm waiting in line, I'm like, I've got like my, you know, I'm you know, looking at my wrist, I don't actually wear a watch, you know, it's like constantly checking the time. It was an 11 a.m panel that I wanted to go to, ended up going, you know, deciding as I was getting closer to the front, you know, I'm gonna go to the 11:30 panel with you guys instead, the Final Fantasy 16 DLC one, which was cool, glad I ended up going to that one.
That was the first like real panel that I was like, okay, this feels like a panel.
Yeah, so I'm waiting in line. The other guys, you know, they're out, just like looking at the floor as I'm waiting in line. And so there's this other like, you know, autistic teen. You could just tell. Again, you could tell with these people. You know, take I didn't mean like that. Takes one to know one, though, right? You know, it's like, again, I see myself there. You know, I can just tell. I can tell with these things.
That delivery was.
So it's like this kid, this like, you know, teen. It was basically, again, another thing where that you could tell is like, basically kid was too old to be there with his mom, but was there with his mom. So that's why, like, you know, it's like,
giveaway.
Okay. Yeah, giveaway. But it's like they're behind
unless
me.
Unless, of course, that's something that he and his mom have been doing, you know, since he was young, you know.
Maybe. It's a nostalgia thing. Because they told me this was the first one that they've been to.
Glass shatter.
Yeah. But so like this is like an hour and a half before basically the Leviathan panel. And they're like saying, like, oh, we want to go to that one. Like, we should, you know, should we just leave and go get in line? And I'm like, just myself, I'm like, I'm going to the same one. No, it's way too fucking early.
Up till this point, that is way too early. All the panels we've been to have been that big of a queue.
And so I told them that. I'm like, you know what? Like, I've yet to go to a panel where you need to be there more than like 30 minutes ahead of time. You know, you're good. And then, of course, I, you know, after all these other things that I do want to talk about, though, it's like I basically, with you know, meeting up with you guys, we just got to that panel, just got to the cutoff. Like we were yeah, in one of we the were back like a rows.
Couple rows in front of the end of the line.
So like that kid may have missed it because of me, and I felt very bad about it. But yeah, what I also felt bad about in a different way is like then again what forced he and I to then take even longer. I had literally gotten to the front of the line. I was to be the next person, and some random, like this isn't for like some like big publication or anything, whatever. Just some dude with a media badge comes up and there's like, oh, we're going to fast track you, get you into the next opening. And then one of the guys comes up to me and says, you know, sorry, they're media, you know? And so never have I been more blackballed. Getting
media badges next year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said to them. It's like, never have I been more blackpilled against games media than I was at that moment. And I was like, I hate them until I become them. You know, when I get the media badge, then it's good. Then it's good and just that I get to go early.
When I get the media badge, I'm just going to go to all the busy booths right away and just walk up and be like, I'm media. Can you let me to the front?
Yeah.
I don't even play Final Fantasy 14. I just want to sit at the computer and look at it.
Yeah. So then like I've got to, and I guess I owe them some little bit of gratitude, because if it wasn't for them taking my spot ahead of me, I wouldn't have had my highlight interaction of the whole trip was
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I get to my little station. I'm about to put my headphones on and I'm like starting up the game. And like, I just like, I see like at the corner of my eye, I see that someone towards the back end is just kind of like watching. And it's like, I do a legit double take and like, I, you know, rip my headphones off and it's like, holy shit, are you Josh Sawyer? You know, leader and director at Obsidian Games, you know, the director of Pentiment and Fallout New Vegas and the
Pillars of Eternity games. Referred to him in his full title.
And he was just like, oh yeah. And so I shook his hand and I was like, told him I'm a big fan and that I'm going to go into his panel later in the day, which we'll talk about. And then he proceeded to be like, is it cool if I watch you play? And I just immediately start fumbling with this controller. Like, oh yeah, sure, that's cool. And
holds the controller in the upside down armored core grip.
Yeah. No, but I'm fumbling around in this game that like clearly is optimized for keyboard and mouse. The controls for the controller were dog shit. I will say that terrible, absolutely terrible. So I'm just fumbling around, bumping into walls, trying to like, you know, to interact with things that aren't interactable. And, but like, you know, I did at least get to show off, like I picked up a fire extinguisher and was shooting goons with the fire extinguisher. And he and I both got a chuckle out of that. And then he said, you know, I've seen enough. Thanks so much. See ya too. And
he walked away saying, yeah, wrote, you can,
my fans are a lot dumber than I thought.
He walked away saying, yeah, you can recognize those people.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like looking around for your guardian.
Yeah, so that, but that was one of the highlights for me for sure, was just getting to meet him, shake his hand. And And I definitely got a little starstruck, fangirly, just, you know, brain empty, getting the vapors.
I'm sad we walked up like right after that happened. It would have been cool to have also gotten a chance to witness.
I mean, when he said it, I was like, oh, that is that Josh Sawyer?
Yeah, like, Matt went into Terminator mode. Just where is he?
It was cool. It was very cool. But so yeah, then we all ended up going to the Leviathan, the Not So Lost Is Here. What's new in Final Fantasy 16 DLC, The Rising Tide?
And the highlight of that DLC panel for me was Mike immediately wanting to buy Final Fantasy 16 after all three of us have been gushing about it since we played it.
Yeah, which by the way, he's AFK taking an emergency shit, by the way. he'll come back eventually. It must be a doozy. He's been gone for
his microphone minute. Keeps going green a little bit, which tells me that there's some noise coming out of the...
There he is.
It was rough. I was listening to you guys the whole time. Yes, I did it. I did I haven't purchased it yet, but I will be purchasing Final Fantasy 16.
I love Final Fantasy 16.
I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it
Morgul.
A lot. Yeah, we got little pixel art Jill pins for our
I got black pilled on the pin community immediately.
Yeah. but yeah, that one was really cool, getting to see you know, Yoshi footage. the man, the myth, the legend, Yoshi P. Then we also had Takeo Kujiroka. Did I pronounce that correctly? I don't know. He was Western Devil Tongue. Yeah, he was. So he's the director for the DLC, but he was previously the Icon fight director for the main game, which was very cool. Some of like the coolest parts of that game.
Definitely.
I said to you guys after the panel that honestly, Final Fantasy 16 has ruined the summons for me in any other game. They look so small and weak, fucking cool. And they're so cool, and just the scale of them is insane in 16.
Yeah,
but we got to see a lot of footage, a lot of trailers.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the in and out clips of footage we got. That kept me like, that's a super engaging way to run the panel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because like they put out like the trailer to the world afterwards. But I feel like there was definitely some stuff that, I mean, I guess it was being streamed on Twitch, so those people got to see it as well. But like,
and I'm sure felt exclusive.
They did feel like it was like, oh yeah, we're getting treated a little bit.
You know, I got to see Tom Berry's before everyone else, even if it's just a 6 second delay.
Yeah, the new King Tom Berry design is pretty fucking sick.
It is sweet.
Thoughts on that panel though. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. Just cool.
It was probably one of my favorite overall panels.
Mine as well.
Yeah, I would say that was my favorite. I felt like we got the most insight into decisions they made making the game, and then we also got some good just upfront marketing for the DLC.
I'd also like to shout out, they did a really good job of the live translator going back and forth, and like it not feeling robotic or stale.
He is the localization director.
Yes.
So it's got to have like a good relationship with them. So knows them well, knows their speaking styles and all that stuff, as well as some of that was probably already like basically pre-written.
Of course. You know? I'm just saying it didn't feel like he says something, pause, wait for translator. Oh no, they're panicking. Oh God, they're sweating so much.
Yeah. No, it was good. I thought that was cool. Some interesting things to see. Like, yeah, it made me.
Leviathan's powers are just gone. So now it's full Devil May Cry. We finally have completed it.
I don't know that I'll buy the first part of the DLC. Was it the something?
Echoes of the Fallen, or something like that.
I think that's correct. I don't know that.
Like the Transformers sequel, Rise of the Fallen.
I'm not particularly interested in that one, and I haven't read anything that's like super glowing about it.
Yeah, that's more of a dungeon, and this is more of a like full Icon like chapter.
Yeah,
would be the more comparison.
Did you say you think you're gonna do it and then try to do the Ultima fight again to see if he adds something for Leviathan?
Yes, of course. But I mean, I also have to find Winged Clive. I must find him.
Is he safe? Oh yeah, and that was then we had like the big surprise at the end, reading the pre-taken questions. Was Ben Starr, the man himself, came out to read.
They saw people getting up and leaving, and they're like, "Oh
wait, hold on." But we were one of them. We ended up like taking some people's seats that
in the back, right by the exit.
Yeah, that had left. And that was cool. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. And then, I think the only other thing on Friday we did was the historical accuracy.
Yeah, the Josh Sawyer one.
Which was Josh Sawyer's panel, which, again, we were like surprised to see how crowded it was. But then the people behind us were like, yeah, it's because Josh Sawyer's here.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's the reason we're here.
Mm-hmm.
The dude in line behind us, I'd like to shout out the fact, I don't know if he was cosplaying anything. I think that was just his regular his energy. Style.
I think he was cosplaying something, but I don't know what it was. But yeah, no, I thought that was one of the more interesting kind of lower key panels.
Until the French woman started speaking.
Oh my god, I couldn't understand the fucking word she was saying.
Nope, couldn't understand anything, and most of the time the only thing I could understand was when she was like, well, I think I know French word for
it. Yeah, how you say, you know, like, it was doing that type of shit. But, like, you know, I honestly could not, like, respect to her, I'm sure she's, you know, had interesting things to say and all that. I just couldn't fucking understand them.
I mean, the best thing she said was refuting the other woman who said that AI and ChatGPT will help with adding historical accuracy to games.
I think you guys misheard. I don't think she said that.
No, she totally did. She was just saying that she was looking like, thanks, man. Adding it doesn't work.
Like their history.
All I heard her say was like, I'm interested in the question. Yeah. What do you guys think? That I didn't hear her voice and opinion.
She was just open to it.
She's like, oh, I think that's an interesting question. Like, I'm interested to see what comes of it, good or bad. You know, I didn't hear her.
But my interpretation on the whole thing was that the French lady misinterpreted what she said and then got defensive because she was like, oh, you're taking my job because I am video game historian. And
no, I don't know. I think you misread that whole interaction.
Maybe
One of us did.
But at the very least, let's just posit
this question here for a second. How could it be possible that a group of four people, all with varying levels of mental capacity, could be having trouble reading social cues?
I mean, listen, either way, the French woman did say that they tried it and it sucked.
And she's like, that's my job.
We all know that ChatGPT and stuff like that, you can influence the answers with just a little bit of massaging. You can just be like, I don't agree with that answer. You'd be like, you're right. Let me find a new source.
Yeah, ChatGPT is just skimming Wikipedia, you know? Yeah. Like, literally. Because, yeah, they're biased by whatever the fucking model is, you know? Like, what is the source of the, you know, the large language model, you know?
Be like, is the earth round? You'd be like, yes. It's like, I don't know. I've never seen it be round. You're like, you're right. You know,
Kyrie Irving has compelling arguments that says, you know, says something different.
Says otherwise.
But yeah, the French lady was like, like literally that's my job is being the one who does the research.
It didn't help that of the people up there, I didn't know any of the games they were up there for other than Josh Sawyer.
Well, I knew that. Yeah. I knew the Ancestor game.
I didn't know Ancestor and the Pirate King one.
It's a VR. It's a
Pirate Queen. Wow. Cancelable offense.
I'm sorry. It's not a Monkey D. Luffy fucking game. Better game that's not VR.
Yeah, no, for me it was it's a VR game. Next?
Yeah, next.
I would have checked it out if it wasn't a VR game. But what do you know about the Ancestor game?
Just know it got some heat for like how it represented essentially like the evolution process of man. I don't remember exactly what their critiques were.
Was it getting heat from creationists or from actual evolutionary scientists?
No, from like evolutionary scientists and like. Okay.
Yeah. And you got to gamify it in some way, right?
You can't
do it fully. You know?
I'm going to look into it and going to find out that like the skill tree is like a phrenology map of your skull.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
If you make the right choices, the final evolution is a white male. If you make the wrong choices, well, you can do the math.
I mean, I was a big fan of Pentiment. Obviously, it was like one of my favorite games, ended up being one of my favorite games of 2022. I played it at the very end of the year. And it was just like, it was one that like, I was a little skeptical going in. Like, I'm not a big point and click kind of adventure gamer. I'm, you know, I do like a lot of, I am a combat, you know, kind of focused gamer. I like that, those kind of systems more usually than anything. But I don't know, I just got like swept away by it, and it was just like the art, the themes, the ambiguity, but then just the sense of place that it gave. You know, he had this cool thing where he's like, yeah, I've had actual Bavarians come up to me and it's like, oh, like where I feel like I've been to Tassing or something, and it's a made up place, you know, it's not real.
Oh yes, Tassing, it's north of you know, in northern Bavaria.
I really enjoyed his take on just doing a historical game. So like, they each had a varying degree of you know, like the accuracy that they were trying to portray within the mm-hmm. game. Like the queen, the pirate queen one, you know, they were discussing some of the liberties they took, but they were trying to focus on this real life person that, you know, that and tell their story through a video game in some way. The ancestors focusing on a very specific period of time and like how humans evolved. But in Pentiment, you know, it is this fake place with, you know, fake place, history,
not, but not real people, and like, you know, taking like lots of different elements. Like he talks about all the time, like it was so rare to have like in this era a place that would like had a scriptorium and you know, that had monks and a nunnery and all these things together in one.
Yeah,
like that was so, that would be so, you know, basically not happen. But like the disparate pieces were all really,
yes, well, but what well he done. Created was like this screenshot of life in that period, and did it with like fake, you know, people that didn't exist, but does it in a way that captures that period of time way better than any of the other games, you know, ability when they're focusing on a, you know, someone that existed. And I thought, you know, that was a very interesting to me how you could, you know, in the nature of the history, like the historical research that he was doing and how he was trying to bring that into the game, and him being the developer doing that, you know, or like the lead doing that research. So the research is like from the top down, whereas like Pirate Queen, you know, she's making decisions, but she's making decisions based on, you know, information that she's just getting from others. She hasn't done it herself. So I think that was something special too, in that game.
You have to remember the role differences.
Yeah,
no, CEO is different than game director. But yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I also liked about that conversation was how they handle anachronisms in their gaming worlds. And they all kind of specifically, and Ben, this is I think what you're talking about too, essentially used what's called parachronism. And that's where they, you know, took things that are did exist at that time historically, but may not have existed in this particular setting so explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's how you do that right, I think, personally.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that was it for Friday in terms of panels. And as I'm looking at it, I think we only went to Cyberpunk on Saturday, right?
We went to the space exploration one, which ended up being that one guy essentially just going through his CV. It was kind of
gaming in the space age.
It was cringe.
That's right.
That was probably the worst panel for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the space stuff. Cool. That's cool. I like that, but like, you know,
He just could have tied it to gaming better. It was very, you know,
the way he tied it to gaming was basically
off okay.
But these are my favorite space games. Now let's talk about space.
Yeah, he didn't like, it would have been better, like, you know, like what are like, yeah, like the lessons we learned in space that like, or like, you know, like the actual technology transfer. And yeah, he just focused on like, yeah, we both use joysticks. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat?
And like, I would have liked to do some of like the kind of like the history talk where I would have liked to hear, you know, what's right, what's represented well within gaming in space and what's not represented well, like things like that would have been.
Ratchet and Clank is the most accurate simulation of space that we have ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to fight against, you know, Space Corporation. So it did just end up being like, yeah, here are all like the projects I worked on at the Jet Propulsion Lab and stuff like that, which like, cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, it didn't really
why I was there.
And he finished the panel really fast, you know, because then it just went to like, oh, I've got like 15 minutes for
Q&A. Questions.
And a lot of people started lining up. A lot of people started lining up, but we just fucked out of there.
Like, and he was also like, he was honing his tight five for when he becomes a stand-up. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it was very well, like, not well rehearsed, but it was very rehearsed. And he knew the punchlines he was trying to hit.
It was very much a presentation, not a discussion.
Yep, for sure.
All right, so yeah, the highlight. I mean,
yeah, because he even had the jokes on the panels, like the slideshow panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got out of there pretty quick. Then the major panel that we went to was the Code, Sweat, and Cheers, How We Made Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty.
Where I chose Team Chrome and got myself that fancy pin.
Yeah, me too. It was time to chrome the fuck up, and I did. Oh yeah, they had some goodies for you.
And then you could have sold it for $40 to a pin scammer.
Yeah.
That Andrew just gave away for free. He's a fucking dingus.
I was helping a nice little boy who didn't get a pin. Yeah. And
in his defense,
I realized an autistic adult.
Yeah, I also initially thought he was just like an autistic 18-year-old who just chose the shirt and wanted the pin too and was like trying to get both.
Yeah, no, totally what I thought.
And he's like, oh, pick from my bag of pins. And at that moment, I was like, you just take that pin bag and run, and he would never be able to touch you.
Definitely, we would have been faster than most people there.
I mean, I was clocking exits at all points in time.
Aside from the lighting in this panel, it's like it started off, they put the lights down, it was fine, we could see the
we could see the spotlight,
and then they put like audience like spotlights on that, like kept on through the whole show. That was like literally just searing into my eyeballs. I had to put sunglasses on in a dark auditorium in order to survive that panel. But besides that, this was probably like my next top one of my, you know.
It was the most like, it was the biggest show, like definitely the main stage for a reason.
But it was just cool to hear from all the devs, and you know, I
don't remember his name, but the tall, skinny one who kept mouthing up,
Igor. Mm-hmm. He had some of the best.
Igor had opinions that the other devs didn't want him to say. It felt like.
And so, like, I was like, yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm familiar with Gabriel Amatangelo, the game director, and Powell Sasko. They're, like, some of the more prominent voices and faces for the game development. But, like, yeah, I was going to say that Igor, I won't try to pronounce his last name. Sarzynski, I guess.
Igor Polish last name.
Yeah. You know, he had some of the coolest, like,
it's spelled Zarzynski, but it's pronounced Jinsky.
Yeah. You know, he had some of the most interesting opinions and anecdotes. And
it felt like at points in time, they were like, cut his mic. Don't let Igor speak anymore.
But they, like, you know, they offered some interesting insights into their direction. They did kind of, you know, tiptoe around the rough launch that rough, that's being generous as well. The terrible launch of the original game when talking about
it. But they weren't there to talk about the original game.
That is true. That's what I was going to say. That's true. They were there to talk about Phantom Liberty. But they did, you know, talk about the full game. You know, that isn't what they just talked about, right? But it was cool to see, like, they had this interest. One of the most interesting points I was like, well, one, first off, they seem like they're very much against the current trends in the industry of of, you know, the attrition in their employee base. There's like, no, we need to keep the, you know, the kind of like the pipeline of development going so that juniors can become specialists and specialists can become leads and all that, and to maintain the institutional knowledge and stuff that we build up over time, that like they care a lot about their people, right? Because we know this from the original launch, that the push to launch it in such a bad state came from executives, right? It came from, you know, the CEO and CFO and the C-suite people, not the game directors. You know, that they're very much trying to defend and protect their people. Because like one of the kind of like the saddest things that you learned about was like, because of COVID, because of the shitty launch of the original, is like that those younger people like never got their moment of catharsis and you know, celebration that comes with shipping a game, in particular shipping a successful game.
Yeah, because they shipped a failure, quote unquote,
and they did it in the midst of COVID, when, you know, everybody is, you know,
isolated in a way
they couldn't have, like, you know, just the simple things of like couldn't have like a release party type of thing. How that had to be basically delayed to the release of Phantom Liberty.
And one thing about like that group that was up there, and to your point about their, you know, retention of their employees in that studio, and I'm gonna say this, and I don't mean it.
There were series of layoffs at CD yes. Projekt Red, but they like are in the process, I think, of unionizing because of it.
But my point was like I'll say it this way, they seemed like a cohesive group, you know, that they worked well together, they could collaborate together, they knew each other's strengths and weaknesses. I originally wanted to say they seemed like a family, but that is like that negative connotation in employment. But like they
truly work like a family. Seemed,
yeah, like they had a bond that looked like it came through in the panel and came through in the product that they created.
Yeah, they felt genuine, I think. That story in particular, Ben, is that was essentially the most they really talked about the failure of the launch initially, and it did feel like genuinely also upset with how things went down.
Right. I mean, like, you can't not think that all these people who put so many years and effort into making this game to have it released in such a state, like,
yeah,
they're not happy with that. No way. Yeah. You know, like that's terrible.
The only part of the panel I want to talk about is the host. How annoyed I was that it was blessing Eddie Oye Jr. from Kind of Funny.
Yeah, a bunch of the Kind of Funny people like apparently hosted a bunch of different panels, including they had some of their own panels, but like they like got split up and like did a bunch of hosting duty. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why them?
I found them
neither funny nor entertaining.
Yeah.
No. Cringy in a not funny way is kind of my thought process.
Says cringy joke, laughs really hard into the microphone, and looks into the audience to make sure that they also start laughing.
Yeah. Or just like acting like being the whole thing around letting them all use swear words was just like,
yeah, that was really cringe.
We're adults and we're talking about cyberpunk.
Yeah. That was very cringe.
It even says it in the panel thing here, 17 and up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this shit ain't for kids. But yeah, for real. But it's like, you know, we're doing cyberpunk here. Come on, what do you expect?
What the French toast?
What the fudge?
These mother liquors.
Lint liquor.
No,
you lint liquor.
No, it's muckalucas.
Oh yeah, muckalucas.
That was Pineapple Express. Yeah. Muckalucka.
I think I'm pretty sure in Snakes on a Plane it was Monkey Lovin'.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Coming out of Samuel's mouth.
Yes, no, that's I'm pretty sure that's the safe for TV version.
America.
Yeah, so that was I think the last panel we went to, because on Sunday, the only panel that any of us were interested in was one of the last ones at the whole. From the whole day, and none of us were staying.
No one was staying till 4:30.
Yeah. Which would have meant, you know, staying till 5:30 to then another 30 minutes basically to get back to the hotel and all that. None of us were doing that. So we missed out on that one. We just went and bought some more shit on Sunday and did another round. Yeah, before we wrap up here, because we've gone a little bit long, any other highlights or, I guess, high or low lights from the whole experience, like any other games that we played?
Kingsfield.
Oh, I played a cat souls like game.
Yeah, that was a highlight.
That, like, you know, has some promise, I think. So it's called Crystalla. The jump
animation had me so far out on that game.
No, there's some serious hardcore jank that needs to be ironed out there. But, like, I know I think they've potentially got something interesting. That's worth.
It could be the next Lies of P.
No, in this state, no. But
I don't think anything there qualifies as the quote unquote next Lies of P. From what I saw, Deathbound felt okay. I couldn't get the parry to work whatsoever.
Yeah, so that one is an interesting party based Souls like.
My
switching characters at whim.
My biggest gripe was with the wooden dice boxes that the vendors had, because I thought I was going to get a hand, you know, I didn't buy one because I wanted a handcrafted,
bespoke,
like, custom.
Oh, at Wormwood?
Yeah, like cool. No, not at Wormwood, because Wormwood, I'm upset because they only had the cards they were displaying as, like, it was like a, just like a regular deck of cards, but had really cool designs, and they were only in preset or pre-order. But I'm talking about, like, I just wanted a dice box from, like, any of the, like, craft vendors. Oh,
from, like, Dodeca Donuts.
No, but yes, but, like, a wooden one from, like, any of the vendors.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be, they all have, like, engravings on top, but it's just, they're all mass produced. Every booth had the same one. You know, it's laser engraved. It's not a fucking, like, handmade box that someone, you know, put together and sanded. So I didn't buy one, and I was very upset because I wanted one.
Yeah, Matt spent $200 on Kingsfield inbox.
With all documentation, you forget the most important part of that.
Uh-huh.
It's still in its plastic container. I haven't removed it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to wait for that for a while.
Forever.
Only when you go to play it.
Ever.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was definitely my piece de resistance, but I was happy with my Parasite Eve copy.
Yeah, that's cool. That was cool.
Which has a demo disc that includes Final Fantasy VIII, Secret of Mana, Legend of Dragoon, and one more Square JRPG from the time.
They were cooking back then, for real. All right, before I have a mic situation here, I'm gonna have to wrap it up. But it's been fun. I enjoyed the trip. I think we learned some Me things too. About potentially doing it again.
One of the things that helps for doing it again is if it's in May next year, that alleviates some of the temperature issues related to.
Still could have rain though.
Yeah, rain is fine. I'm just more saying, like, when it's 30 degrees and the wind is gusting at the rate of 1,000 miles per hour, and you're walking face down into it because you can't look up because your eyes are watering and it's freezing to your eyelashes.
Yeah, not the most pleasant. But yeah, that was our coverage of PAX. We enjoyed it. Probably try to go again in the future. Maybe do some more convention type stuff as well if we can swing
it. Print out our own media badges.
Yeah. But till then, you can follow us on twitch.tv/campaigncomrades. Find out, you know, upcoming stuff about the pod on all the socials and all that. And we'll be keeping at it. We will see you all in the future. All right, folks. Always talk to you later.
Bye-bye.